Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome, you're listening to the Cinema Condition, the podcast that talks about the movies you've seen or haven't seen. This is your host, filmmaker, and creator of the Nerdcore, Raul Alejandro Mendoza. But I prefer that you guys call me by the Nerd Chicano. So, today we are talking about the 2013 film Garden of Words by Mr. Makoto Shinkai. And I have a very special guest, my friend, and very renowned guest of the show that is not this show, but the other shows that we do. She was a frequent collaborator of the Thrones episodes that we were doing on the Nerdcore podcast. She's also been a couple of times on the other shows, like the rebirth of the Nerdcore live show. She was the first one to be on there as an in-studio guest, by the way. She was the first one to be an in-studio guest. She was not over a voice call. She was right there in front of me. And she was on that, and she's also done a couple of other stuff. She's also an incredible supporter of the Patreon. Thank you for that. And that is none other but our wonderful friend, Michelle Ochoa. How are you doing today?
A faint clap of thunder, clouded skies. Perhaps rain comes. If so, will you still here with me? Hi, everyone. It's Michelle.
Yeah, if you don't know the movie, then you're probably wondering, like, what the hell was that in the beginning? But, yeah. So, how are you doing?
It's good. I felt so excited when I was crossing the border to get here because I'm like, oh, my God, this weather is perfect for us to talk about this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's all about rain. So, mm-hmm. I love it. I love rain.
Yeah, you love rain. So, I pitched you this show a while ago, and you were like, oh, it sounds like a pretty good idea. So, basically, this is episode two. This is the first one we had our wonderful friend, Alex Almeida. We were talking Gaspar Noé's Climax, 2018 film, and we spent almost an hour and 10 minutes, I think. We were just talking about this movie. We were analyzing. We were deeply going into every corner of this film, and we talked about it, and that's what we're going to be doing again today and the rest of the episodes here on the podcast. So these episodes will be coming out to you a little bit, not frequently, I'm saying that, because this should be out the second week of the new year. So the first week, we'll have Alex's episode. But that means that by the time these are up, that means that I have at least three episodes recorded, so you have 3 weeks of content that you can listen to this show. Or you have five episodes recorded, so you have 5 weeks. And then you have to wait for me to record another five episodes, and then they will go up. But as I explained in the first episode, which was the introduction, this is the first season of The Cinema Condition. There is 25 episodes, 25 films, 25 guests that come on the show that we will be analyzing and deeply talking about the movie that we bring to our attention. This is not a review. This is not anything like the Nerdcore show. This is something different. This is still in the network, so you should definitely go and support the other shows on this wonderful network. And I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I know that right now, as I speak, the show is only available on Spotify, but hopefully will be added to all the other platforms as time goes by, because I did not remember that it does take a while for these shows to pop up in the other platforms. But we gotta love Anchor. We love Anchor so much for what they do for us, and we have our sponsorship in the beginning of this episode. So thank you. And yeah. So, you know, today Michelle is here with me, and I pitched you the show, and I said, hey, I listen to so many shows like the Big Picture podcast. I listen to Wrong Reel. I love shows that deeply analyze movies. I love reviewing. I've said that 1,000 times. I love writing my reviews. I love talking about them with Brad. But I want to do a show where I could just sit down for an hour to 2 hours and just deeply analyze a movie. And you're like, yeah, that sounds cool. And I was like, I want to get you on it. And you're like, oh, that's cool. I haven't been on the podcast in a while.
Yeah. Remember, everyone analyzing and reviewing it, there are different things. Because at first I was like, so yeah, we're just reviewing this, or what do you mean by analyzing? Be more specific. And then he told me, well, we're just going to talk about the movie. Yeah. It's not like we're going to talk about how much it made or stuff like that. I guess that's a different.
We're reviewing. Oh, well. We're reviewing is more of like, I like this movie. This is why I like it. And there we go. That's it.
That's it.
You know, with what we did like last week, because this comes out the week after.
Yeah.
Alex and I talked about how Gaspar composes his shots, the way that he films a movie, the way that he makes the character, that makes the audience really feel the situation at hand, and the way that the film conveys a certain message through its subject matter. Mm-hmm. And so today, when I told you, like, we're going to analyze this movie, and you're like, okay, it's a review, and I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about things like, you know, how the film looks, like, you know, the animation, of course, but more importantly, what you think this movie is about. Because your interpretation is very different from what I interpret this movie about. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly about what we find this movie to be and what the movie means to us. So that's what I meant. And I know you were a little confused at first.
Yeah.
Mainly because I'm terrible at explaining things when it's over the phone.
Yeah,
it's
like easier. True. You're terrible.
Yeah. When I call you, it's easier to explain things.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at. That's funny because, you know, I've written a bunch of short films.
I know.
So, you know, like I'm able to write.
That's ironic.
But like text, I can never get text down. I guess that means I should just be writing you letters and mailing them to your
home. Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. So, Michelle, I told you I want to do a Makoto Shinkai film, mainly to celebrate the release of his new film, Weathering With You. So, Makoto Shinkai is a Japanese film director, very, very famous Japanese film director. And I want to first get around, don't really want to go into his career. We'll talk about that. But what was the first one you saw from him?
5 Seconds. Oh, shoot. I forgot. We were just talking about this movie.
Five centimeters per second.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, man. I feel a brain fart. Yeah. Sorry.
Brad's,
but yeah,
you're taking Brad's gimmick away.
Yeah. 5 centimeters per second. I didn't even really think about the director until you mentioned him. And I was like, oh my God, I've seen several movies of this guy. Mm-hmm. No wonder. I really like this movie. And I remember I was a freshman in college when I first saw that. And it just hit me. Really loved it.
Yeah. That's awesome. So Mr. Makoto Shinkai would start his career with about 4 short films. And then he would make his directorial debut with 2004's The Place Promised in our early days. And then he would continue on to make Michelle's first film that he watched from him, 5 Centimeters per Second in 2007. And then, of course, in 2011, he would make Children Who Chase Lost Voices in 2011. In 2013, he would make The Garden of Words, but he would also make another short film called Someone's Gaze. And then, of course, the movie that he's most known for, which is the highest grossing anime film, not animated, because that belongs to, I believe, The Incredibles 2. I don't remember.
What?
I don't know those facts at the top of my head. But what's it called? 2016's Your Name.
Your Name.
And then this year, he released, well, not this year, last year, 2019. He released Weathering With You.
Hmm.
And Mr. Makoto Shinkai, we talked about Your Name. We obviously didn't do it with you. We did it on a separate, we did on the Weebcore with Alex and when that was alive and well. And that's not a shot, by the way. Whoever thinks that's not a shot. That's not a shots fired or anything. But yeah, we talked about that on that show. And
Your Name.
Yes, we talked
about it. I was so mad at you because you didn't even... Never even told
were
me.
We still, were or, we talking about? Were we still
yes, talk, were. I remember you told me, oh, by the way, we talked about your name. And I'm like, excuse me? How dare you not tell me about this? My laptop skin, my laptop screensaver, my phone case, todo. Everything was about your name. I even have a puzzle of your name.
Yeah. And wait, you have a puzzle for your
yes,
name?
I have a puzzle of them holding hands. And, you know, seeing the shooting star.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies. And I got so butthurt because you didn't even invite me.
Well, you can be in the same group of people that Nikki is then. Because we did Spirited Away without Nikki. So she's pretty mad at us for that.
Wow. You guys suck.
Yeah. But we had to do Spirited Away. I mean, that's like one of my favorite movies of all time. So Makoto Shinkai. Yeah, you're a big fan of Your Name. That was the first one I've watched from Makoto Shinkai. And then I watched this one. And for the people who are wondering, the movie's available on Netflix. You can stream it there. It's 45 minutes long. And I have a lot to talk about why I feel like that's one of the reasons why the movie doesn't work that well for me is because it's so short. But we're not here to review. Like I said, we're here to analyze this movie. Yes. But yes, I want to go ahead and read some information here, my friends. And what's it called? Makoto Shinkai's The Garden of Words. It was made into a serial novel. It was also made into manga. But at first, it was an anime film written and directed by Makoto Shinkai. And music is done by... We playing footsies or what down there?
Hmm?
We playing footsies down here?
What? I don't know what you're talking about, bro. Yeah. All right.
Oh, what's it called? The music, of course, the incredible music score is done by Dasuke Kashiwa. And the studio that made it was Kofix Wave Films. And it was released on April 28th, 2013 in Golden Coast. And then it got its release in Japan on May 31st, 2013. And it stands at 45 minutes. Why does it say 46 here? Is there like a 1 minute scene that we didn't get in our movie?
What? We should look it up.
Man, it must be credits.
Yeah, it must be the credits.
Yeah. So this movie is very, what's it called? For the people who don't know Makoto Shinkai, if you did not watch Your Name, I see that it carries the same message that it really had in the other movie, where it's like it really based on like relationships. Also, nature has a big thing to play in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, by the way, that also has to do a lot with the Japanese culture and the way that they value nature. So, of course, that he was going to have nature be a constant thing. You see that with other directors such as, Hayao Miyazaki, Akira Kurosawa, Chiyo Ozu. Yeah, you know, you have a bunch of other incredible directors who constantly are referencing to nature. And... yeah, Michelle, what did you... I guess this is the only time I'll ask for your review. What do you think about this movie?
Well, I've watched it like 4 or 5 times, I think. Now.
Yeah, you really wanted to study.
Yeah, it's because the first time I watched it, I was really just messing around in my apartment because I was like, man, I really want to watch something, but anime-related. And... I didn't want it to take too long because I get really hooked on everything. So if I start watching something new, I know I won't stop until it's done. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that it was 45 minutes, I was like, this is perfect. I can watch this. And then the first time I saw it, like, I don't know, it just gave me this really, really warm, nice feeling that I really liked it. It was just really amazing for me. I mean, I know you don't like that it's 45 minutes, but the first time I watched it, it didn't feel like 45 minutes. It felt... a bit longer, I guess, because I was so into it. I don't know.
I mean, once again, the length of a movie shouldn't matter as long as it gets its story across.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that I think that it could have elaborated on other stuff and
be
able to expand it more. But this is also, once again, I feel like I'm a person who didn't grow up in the time of B-movies, which B-movies were like 45 to 65 minutes long.
What?
Or straight to DVD movies that were like 60 minutes, like an hour. And like, you know, once again, like you probably don't know about this either because, you know, those movies weren't playing at the huge multiplexes. They were small films that were shown at the time and they were like very short in length, which people now would consider short films. But no, they were actual feature films because they were, what's it called, distributed by an actual production company and they were put into theaters. But, you know, The length, it's not the fact that it's so short. It's just I feel the story is very short and it's not as expanded as I wanted. Not as I want it to be, as I feel it should be. But, you know, it's still an incredible movie. I think, once again, Makoto Shinkai, just the way he really creates the narrative. Oh, sorry, I do not want to burp into the microphone. I'm
shots.
Yeah. I'm crossovering. What's the name? Phrases from the other shows over here. Yeah. I just think that the way that he incorporates a lot of what he's talking about in these movies are just incredible. And I forgot to mention, I'm so sorry, I didn't even introduce who you are. I did say you're a friend of the show, but like Michelle is like an incredible anime fan. Like just the extensive knowledge that lives inside that brain. She reads manga. She reads She reads the novels too in a way, but yeah, like, you know, she loves anime and she's getting all red over here. She loves anime. She loves what's it called? She loves all the shows and she loves movies as well. And what's it called? Michelle has been a friend of mine for years. And she has wanted to be on the podcast as of late. And I said, you know, might as well bring her on here to discuss an anime film.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure if you wanted to, you would call dibs on Makoto Shinkai and his rest of his filmography.
Yes, please.
So just because we talked about it on the other shows doesn't mean that we can't talk about your name here.
Oh.
So we can do an episode devoted to your name.
Oh my God.
And like I said, I wanted to bring up, just because somebody comes in one time to this show doesn't mean that they can't come back. They can come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do another movie. We just can't do the same movie.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
course.
Like, so just because on the other show we did all these other movies doesn't mean we can't do them on here.
Okay.
So like, you can do your name together another time.
Yay.
Yeah. Obviously, it can't be right now because I haven't rewatched the movie in a while.
Yeah, that's true.
But yes, I want to bring up something. You know, there's something I've noticed with Makoto Shinkai that is always something that stands out to me, because of music. I'm so sorry, Michelle.
You're going to hate
me for this, but I think this score is better than Radwimps' score of Your Name. I am just a huge fan of the piano pieces and that classical feel to it. And just those piano pieces with the violin going through them, they're just amazing in this movie. If anything, that's what was getting me in my feels when I was watching this movie. And the Radwimps soundtrack in Your Name is incredible. I love that. I love that score. But this just reminds me of those incredible scores from the Japanese movies of the 60s and the 70s and the 50s. And just how beautifully crafted they are. And I love the score for this movie.
Yeah.
I went to Spotify and I tried to find it and I couldn't
find it.
It's not anywhere. I'm
going to
check on SoundCloud.
Yeah, check on YouTube. You could probably.
No, I go on SoundCloud. Mm. That's where I also have the score for Her on there.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's not on Spotify.
Well, no, I don't hate you. I mean, I love Radwimps. They're amazing. Their music is amazing. I get chills. But this movie, I mean, I myself also love instrumental music. The piano especially and the violin together are my favorite sounds in this whole world. And then that plus the sound of the rain, it made me feel like I was, I don't know, like I could smell the rain. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it just reminded me so much. So I really, 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 really like this movie's music. Maybe I won't say a lot more than Radwimps, but it's up there just because.
Well, yeah, well, you're a big fan of that movie.
The movie. Radwimps have really, I guess, because I've been listening to rock Japanese music for a really, really long time. And then they have a mixture of both rock and then, what is it like? Pop, is it?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe
it. So honestly, I look at it more like a punk, a little bit of
punk.
There's punk influences. There's a little bit of that alternative to it. But mostly it's J-Rock. 100%.
Yes, J-Rock is the best. So like Raul said, I've been watching anime since I can remember. Probably the first stuff I've ever watched was anime. So all the intros and everything was punk rock Japanese music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I actually started getting into this kind of music. I didn't even listen to it in English or in Spanish before I started listening to Japanese.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's because also like, what's it called? Anime, people really don't understand this. And it's funny because when I got to talk about it with Alex, when we were talking about Saint Seiya or how we know him as Los Caballeros del Zodiaco.
Oh, sí.
Yes.
Los Caballeros.
Yeah. So people don't understand how well, what's it called? Well-received anime is in Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think in the U.S. anime is big, it is bigger in Latin America. I'm talking about like over there in Mexico and what's it called? Central America and South America. Anime is huge. I mean, when I would go over to Mexico, we would watch Dragon Ball Z on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it was constantly a thing that where anime was so huge in Mexico that they started bringing all these other shows and some of these shows that were never getting, what's it called, viewership in America, were getting a ton of them in Mexico and in Latin America. And what's it called? So it's no surprise that you and me, that we spend a lot of time in Mexico as well, but we also live right here at the border. there's no surprise that you and I are big anime fans, because we're around the area where anime hit really, really big in Mexico. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still got my share of bullying because I loved anime.
Of course.
But I was like, Loki, all of y'all also watch anime. And yeah. You just want to make fun of me because I'm proud of it. But
yeah. I mean, like, Pokemon, the series.
That's anime, guys.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
That's anime.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. It's anime. It's like, just because it's not made by a Japanese production company, it's made in America, it's still 100% anime.
Like, and Avatar too. Like, it's made Avatar, here, but mm-hmm. it was based on anime, like, creators. And it's really frustrating.
So Makoto Shinkai's been working with Red Wimps ever since Your Name. I still have not listened to the score for Weathering With You. Because I want to watch the movie first. I'm like this. I don't like to listen to the score before I watch the movie, because there's a very big difference between listening before you watch the movie and then when you're watching the movie hearing that score. And once again, that's a thing that Makoto Shinkai does incredibly well in his movies. Yeah. He knows where to put the music. He knows where to elevate it. He also knows where to not have it elevated. And there's certain scenes in this movie where I think that, you know, where the use of the score is just incredibly used. Like, oh my God. Like, it's just, some of those moments become a little bit more emotional because of the music that's playing in the background.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't listen to it on purpose. I was at work and I was just listening to Red Wimps, and then suddenly that song came up. I'm like, this is not from Your Name, but I know this is Red Wimps.
Yeah.
And then I checked and it said Weathering With You. And I'm like, oh my God. But this score, definitely for A Garden of Words, I love the fact that there's moments where it's just silent and all you listen to is just the rain.
Yeah.
I mean, and then suddenly the music hits.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's just the way that he uses the sound design of his movies are incredible as well. Like, there's those moments in Your Name where you can literally hear him just crunching on the grass.
Yeah.
And just like the sound of nearby bicycles and cars coming in. It's like it's putting you in the feel of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Garden of Words is doing as well.
Yeah.
It's putting you in the feel of the city. So finally, I think we can finally go in more into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is about a 15-year-old boy who is an aspiring shoemaker, and he goes to a garden every now and then during the summer to speak with this lady who he has no idea what her name is or any idea who she is, but they share, you know, stories, personal, intimate details about each other, and they create a relationship of sorts, not as in, you know, not
romantic,
but, you know, friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes on through there. And I think it's interesting that Makoto Shinkai is concentrating on a 15-year-old boy, because those are very formative years, as you know. You know, what's it called? 15-year-old boys. There are raging with hormones. They are, what's it called? Don't understand what they really want. But deep inside there's a sense of aspiring to want to do something. And it's interesting that Makoto Shinkai decides to play the dynamic between him and a like 30, 40-year-old woman, which
she's,
you know, 27-year-old woman, which is, you know, not just age, what's it called, older, but also mature, you know, in her brain. Like, she's a little bit more mature than him. And it's really interesting. So what do you think about this story?
There's a lot of stuff I think about this movie.
Yeah. Well, I need you to put your mouth on the microphone first.
Sorry.
Yeah.
There's a lot, I think. But I don't know. Do you want to separate it, like, by, not by frames, because, of course, that's...
No.
But, like, from... Like three parts of the movie or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
We can analyze however you want. You
okay.
Know?
It's because there's a lot. I'm telling you, I watched this movie like four times.
Yeah.
Because...
Only watched it once.
Yeah, you watched it once. No wonder. I was like, she's 27. Yeah. And then...
I'm sorry. I don't usually remember what's it called, ages. So.
Okay. So this boy, he tries to make it a point to miss school. Oh, well, miss classes in the morning if it rains, because he loves going to the garden when it rains. And then this woman, like Raul said, he doesn't know anything about her, but she's just this lady who sits This lady, oh my God, dude, we're almost at that age, and I'm calling her a lady. Jesus,
well,
no.
She is a lady.
This young lady. This young lady.
She's a lady.
This young lady, 27 years old, just sits there drinking beer and eating chocolate. And then this guy's like, what the heck's wrong with this lady? She's just drinking beer this early in the morning. And I asked you this question the other day, and then you told me not to talk about the movie because then we weren't going to have anything to talk about here.
Yeah, I don't like talking about the movie before you do.
Yeah, I was just too excited. So Raul watched this movie in English the first time. Well, like the only time he's ever watched it. But when I watched it in Japanese.
Yeah.
And then the second time I watched it in English. Mm-hmm. Then the third time I watched it, the second time I watched it in English, it didn't give me the same feel as when I watched it in Japanese. And then I watched it again in English, but with subtitles in English to see the difference between what the translation mm-hmm. was from the Japanese version. And then I watched it again in Japanese. Mm-hmm. And then that just gave me the feels again. And I realized that there's a lot of little things that come in the full-on dub that's mm-hmm. that I feel that's why I felt different when I watched it in Japanese. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, I can't comment on that because I did not watch the Japanese
version.
No,
but like, but what do you think overall about the fact that there's a difference between the sub and the dub of that movie?
Well, first of all, I think that comes down to the way that we interpret film.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the foreign films I watch, they're not dubbed. They're sub. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're just doing a month on Andrei Tarkovsky.
Mm-hmm.
They're Russian films. I have the subtitles on. And it only seems to be that with anime films is because when the movie starts, it started with the English. So I thought that was the only version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, I should have changed it. So when you told me there's Japanese, I was like, wait, there's a Japanese version? Like, I did not notice that I could change it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's it called? I think that that has a lot to do with the way that, you know, obviously voice acting is an incredible profession. What you can do with your voice is incredible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's just something about the original version of the movie, the way that it was filmed. And that's the way that the emotion is conveyed.
Yeah, because so the difference that I saw between watching it in Japanese and watching it in English is that in the Japanese version, the boy sounds a little bit more kind of nervous, mm-hmm. A bit curious about like this lady, no muy aventado, or like not trying to like expose himself that much, I guess, or like talk really loud in a way. And I feel like the voice actor in English sounds a little bit more aggressive, if that makes sense.
Aggressive, I would say
manly or whatever it is.
No, more like, what's the word I'm trying to say? More reliant.
Assertive.
Not like if he's kind of like jumping the gun a bit, right?
Yeah.
He's obviously has some excitement because, come on, a 15-year-old boy talking to an older woman, of course you're going to have some excitement that this woman is interested in talking to you. You're this 15-year-old teenage kid. You know, you have a 27-year-old woman in front of you who's spending time every single time you come back to that garden to talk to you. You're going to be a little bit like, you're going to want to jumping the gun a bit and mm-hmm. be overly excited.
See, and that's what I didn't like about the English version, because the Japanese version is not like that at all.
Yeah.
Like, when you see it, like, you see this timid boy talking mm-hmm. to this older lady. And, I mean, I'm much older, but he's just kind of, like, curious about what's going on. And then it's not until the end where he actually, like, tries to still, like, to talk to her, you know, when all this stuff is going on at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to talk about that yet.
No.
But even then, like, the choice of words are different. Like, a lot more respectful and not so much like if they were friends right away.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like the way that, and I'm going to bring this up because these are primarily the movies I like to watch. What's it called? Foreign films from Mexico. Mm-hmm. They don't really understand the what's the word I'm trying to use? Not diction. The connotation.
Yeah, the connotation.
The connotation of using usted. Mm-hmm. It's very different from the connotation of using tú.
Mm-hmm.
But when you translate those words, it just means the same thing. It's like you,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but when you listen to it, when it's not, what's it called, dubbed, if you're watching it in the English dub, usually some channels on TV will do mm-hmm. that. If you're listening to it, it's a difference in that when you're speaking the language and you're looking at the subtitles. So I get where you're coming from. And that might just be because Japanese is also a very tonal language where, what's it called? It very much has to do with the tone of the voice you're using, mm-hmm. or because if I remember correctly, from a little bit of limited use of learning a Asian language, there's certain tones, like there's different ones that you use to, what's it called, pronounce certain words. So mm-hmm. I think that that's another reason why, you know, some of those words might come off a little bit more timid. Some of them might come out a little bit more, what's it called, aggressive. It's because just the tone at which they're using. Plus, once again, that's the original version of the movie. So
you know. And then I noticed that they were adding stuff mm-hmm. that was not in the, I guess, on the script or like the actual words that they were using in Japanese. Like there is this one part where they're talking about the mom, you know, that's going to leave them and whatnot mm-hmm. because she's dating this younger guy. Well, in the English version, he's like, damn, I hate it. You're like this and that, like just talking back bad to his mom. But in the English, in the Japanese version, he doesn't say any of those stuff.
Lets things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the bad words also that they use when he's fighting with those upperclassmen and they say something really bad. Well, not really bad, but they talk back to this guy or says like, oh, I'm going to enjoy this of hitting the kid. But in Japanese, they don't say that either. And it just, it didn't throw me off, but I just thought it was really interesting. It made mm-hmm. me think about everything else that I've watched, dub, sub, and.
Yeah. I also have no idea. Makoto Shinkai brought the script, the translated script. And I was like, okay, I want to add a little bit of this, you know, give them that. And stuff.
I should probably research that.
Yeah, you know, it would be something nice. I was trying to find something like that on the wiki page, but nothing came up like that. I also have no idea. I am not a voice actor. I've never done voice act gigs.
Yeah.
So I would not know about what it is to translate a movie for voice acting. So, what's it called? I guess I would have to ask somebody else who is probably in the industry. But sorry. Once again, I do not want to burp into the microphone.
Shot.
Yeah, shot again.
Yeah.
Take a shot of your water that you have right there.
Yep.
But yeah, it's so, I'm, once again, I'm always floored. Well, not floored. I'm very interested in the way that Shinkai really, you know, crafts his movies. So from the two that I've watched, they're in the city. So he apparently has something interesting. He's interested in the urban lifestyle, I guess. Be it what's called, because Your Name is in a big city.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid is basically spending his time inside the big city, with inside the garden, also at school. And do you think that this movie is really talking about innocence? Innocence of a teenage kid or, you know, because I don't know if I want to just go in there and call this a relationship, because I don't think it's a relationship. And nor do I think that the feelings that this kid has for the woman are
okay.
Real.
Tell me a little bit more about that. Like, what do you feel about the main character? Oh, well, the kid.
I think he's just a regular 15-year-old boy. I think that he, obviously he has a terrible situation at home. I mean, your fucking mother's about to have to leave you. Like, that's not something that you're able to, like, come back really well from, especially at a 15-year-old boy when your hormones are raging. But I think that he has something that he's aspiring to make, but he has no support. So the only support he's getting is from this woman who's at the garden every other day that he goes to visit her. And she's just like, you know, this is, she obviously, what's it called, shows a interest in what he wants and also seems to want to support him into doing what he wants to do, which is to become a shoemaker. And obviously she also is getting something from this, what's it called, friendship, you know, seems to be getting something out of it because she's starting to realize that obviously not all kids are terrible like the kids that are, you know, making her life a hell.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out that this woman is going to be let go from her school that she's working at because of a rumor about some sexual rumors. And this woman seems to have, so I think, and I don't know if you know what this means, I think she's on a bender. So what's it called? A bender is when, what's it called? Usually around a time that something really bad happens. So you're just in your fuck it stage. I'm going to drink a shit ton. I'm going to, what's it called? Just, what's it called? Go on a bender and what's it called? Basically not give a shit about what's going on right now. I think that's her right now, that she's like, she's drinking beer and eating chocolate at a garden. She's like, I don't care what's going on. I don't know when's the next day I'm going to go to back to work, but obviously, like, these kids made my life a living hell, and I'm depressed about this, but, you know, here comes this kid who's going to change my mind about the people that work at my, the people that go to my school that I'm teaching at. Michelle, are you on your phone? Oh, no, you're not on your phone.
No, I'm not. It's just really interesting.
Yeah. How, like I said,
No. Like,
interpretations are very different. So I like this that you're gonna kind of.
I was listening to what you were saying and trying like to think how to talk about this. Wow.
Take your time.
It kind of like hit me what you're saying.
What?
Well, because I feel like the movie's nothing like that at all. Yeah, because so it's not a bender. They actually explain it in the movie why she only drinks and eats chocolate, and she's not being let go. She's quitting.
She's quitting?
Yes.
Well, she has no choice but to quit.
Okay. So
like how you
what happened go? Was that I guess you want to do I start with him or do I start with her?
Well, just explain the situation.
Okay. So like you said, he is going through some stuff at home, but the mom's not really leaving. It's more of a, she's just overreacting because her older son is moving.
Yeah.
And so she's just a little bit upset because his, you know, like the bird's leaving the nest. He's leaving to move with his girlfriend and all this stuff. And that's why he's saying all this stuff. And the reason why he's really stressed about, he works a lot and the younger kid is really stressed about everything is because, like you said, he wants to be a shoemaker and it's not something that he gets support from. Mm-hmm. So he's overworking himself so that he can transfer to like shoemaker
school,
right? And it's really expensive, like the books, materials, all of that stuff is really expensive. Yeah. And then he talks to someone who's not really, it's not like she doesn't care because she does, but he finds it nice that he can talk to someone that will not tell him that he's just delusional, like his older brother who thinks like, oh, really? Like, do you really think he can be that? I mean, it's not something really often that people say in Japan. And then she is actually, the reason why she only drinks beer and eats chocolate is because she can't taste anything else. So because she's going through that depression and anxiety that happened with the students who were bullying her at school, making rumors about her having like those sexual allegations. Mm-hmm. And that got to her relationship. Like she lost her relationship because her boyfriend didn't believe her. Her parents didn't believe her either. Only the students, the good students believed her. So she started getting really depressed about it. So she couldn't taste any food anymore.
Yeah.
And the only thing that she could taste was beer and chocolate and coffee.
So I'm sorry, but like in my head, that's a bender. You're like, you know, where you're only drinking and you're only eating certain things. Because one of the symptoms with depression, you can either lose your appetite or you can overeat. You can overeat or you can't eat.
But when she says it's like, it doesn't sound like, oh, I'm drinking beer because I want to get wasted or because.
Also, I watched the English version. Yeah. I don't know how it is in the Japanese
I'm sorry.
Version. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also, so sorry. I'm getting all defensive about it.
No. Also, also, leaving doesn't mean, I should have said this, mentally checking out, you know, what's it called? I don't know if you understand what I'm coming from that. Like, to me, I read the mom as like, I'm mentally checking out of this shit. Like, you know, like, what's it called? Mm. I can't deal with your problems because I'm dealing with my older son leaving the nest.
Mm-hmm.
So she not paying attention to this kid, really. You know, she is in a way, but she's not. But she's also, what's it called, having to deal with this, you know, the main problem at hand.
Yeah, I see. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. Also, like I said, we're not here to, what's it called, debate. We're here to talk.
Oh, yeah. So I know. Don't get defensive. You know, I'm like, so sorry. It's just like,
I
really like this movie.
Yeah, well, of course.
I like the story, like where it takes me. But I understand. Though, of course, there's going to be a difference between watching it in English and watching like the sub version of it. That's why I was like, man, it's so interesting how just one little thing that changes in a movie just changes the perspective of someone right away.
Yeah. You know, just so what's it called? So just I probably should have watched the Japanese version. But like I said, I've been watching a crap ton. We were catching up on a lot of movies.
Yeah, also, yeah. I remember you were telling me also, you had to watch a bunch of movies.
Yeah. Also wish we would have done this last week when we actually were planning to do this.
Yeah.
Because the movie was a lot more fresh in my head. Mm-hmm. If I knew that we were gonna do it today, I probably would have refreshed a little
bit. I'm sorry.
But no, it's okay. It's okay. What's it called? There's so you know, the kid I don't know if I want to read it as timid in my version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he's just, what's it called? I think he's just like any other kid in a coming of age story. Like he's grasping for something. He's found something he's good at that he loves and that he wants to pursue. He has the support for it.
Mm-hmm.
But he really, really wants to find something. And the fact that this woman who he just finds at a garden is the one who's giving him that support and he feels like he can open himself up to her.
Mm-hmm. That
obviously is something that he finds so important. No wonder, what's it called, at that age, you could start to develop feelings for somebody like that because, you know, like, here I am. No one really gives a shit about this, you know. But here's this woman who, you know, I barely even know, and she really cares about what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And she even wants me to make her shoes. Like, nobody else other than the people who I probably had to make shoes for who need them want these shoes, you know. But here's this woman who barely even knows me, who, what's it called, who's 12 years older than me, and she wants me to make her shoes. So I would understand why he would sort of develop feelings for her. I wouldn't straight up call him love. I think it's infatuation.
Yeah, it's not like really, really a love relationship. It's more of a, like, I love being with you because you can, you can love being with someone, but not necessarily like, oh, I want to start a relationship with you or something like that. Because he understands that she's older and that she's like in a complete other world basically, or like another part. He even like says it briefly, like she holds the secrets of like another world because she's older.
Yeah.
And him, he's just like this kid that's still trying to figure out what's up with his life.
Yeah. It's those relationships. So it's not relationship in the romantic version. It's a symbiotic relationship is where I learn something from you and you learn something from me.
Yeah. 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 Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. And as somebody who has experienced a lot of those types, not romantic relationships, but those types where I have people in my life that I've learned a lot from. They've learned a lot from me. And from there, we've taken ourselves to you know, grow stronger bonds. Sadly, he can grow a stronger bond with this woman because, you know, obviously she has to move out and he has to, what's it called, continue on with his life.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting that he's basing the story at such a formative year where this is like usually where a kid would usually feel like, I need to know what I want, right? I got to know what I want because I'm going to finish high school soon. I'm not going to know where to go. I don't know what I should do. And if you don't have somebody there to say like, hey, I believe in what you're doing, or I see that you really like this, you should definitely go for it. It could mess up a kid in the way that they think about themselves.
Yeah, especially in Japan, because I mean, they're so into like their culture, their education is one of the top things that they have to have figured out by the time they're already basically in middle school sometimes. I mean, I see it a lot in animes, movies, manga, everything. They're always talking about like cram school or about studying for college or getting into a really good high school so that they could have higher chances of getting this job. And it's mostly just office work. And they base that in the fact that he's trying to be a shoemaker is really refreshing because it's not something that you see very often. Yeah. So I really like his feelings towards this person who's willing to support him, like helping him with wanting to make shoes for women, and is like, oh, well, you can use my feet, basically. And at first it was like, damn, that's real awkward. But at the same time, it's like, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of this. Yeah.
That's interesting that you read it as awkward. I didn't read it as awkward.
Yeah.
I read it more like, you know, wow, she's letting me practice. Like, I have nowhere else to practice. So here, I'm going to take these feet and I'm going to do.
I mean, I don't mean awkward in the like, awkward. It's more of a nervous, awkward kind of, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, yeah, of course, because if I were in his shoes, a 15-year-old boy who's starting to feel something for a woman, like, older than me, and she's like, hey, you want to touch my feet? I'd be like, kind of nervous, apprehensive.
Yeah.
I was trying to say apprehensive.
Yeah.
Apprehensive to, you know, touching on her feet, like, you know.
Plus, I hear guys have food fetishes. Or
food?
Something. Or foot.
Oh, yeah.
Foot.
What's it called? By the way, nice little, what's it called? What's it called? It's, my mind went directly to Pulp Fiction. where Jules is like, what? You don't read, what's it called? Touching a woman's foot as sexual? And they're like, no, God. It's just a foot rub. It's just a foot rub. And he's like, no. Oh, man. But yeah, what's it called? Going back to the situation at hand. Also, I think it's also a commentary. So I'm going to bring up something. I think it's a lot about commentary on mental health in Japan.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the fact that this woman has no... So I think this is also something that could have been more of a...
Elaborated
on in a longer version of this movie. This woman has no therapist. Has mm-hmm. nobody to go to talk about her depressive feels right now.
Yeah.
And the person that she relies on is a 15-year-old boy who comes to a garden. And those moments when he can't see her, you read that she's feeling even more lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I think, once again, Shinkai is trying to give us a little bit of a taste of what mental health is like in Japan. Another movie that Michelle really wanted to be on the review for that kind of talked about that was, once again, The Silent Voice. I'm sorry. Yeah, but I think Shinkai is talking a lot about that in this movie as well.
I got really upset about Silent Voice because I have the whole manga. I was like, excuse me. You could have at least asked.
You wanted to come out here and flex with your anime knowledge. And you're
yes.
like, okay, here's my manga knowledge. This is what I know. But yeah, I'm sorry. But what do you think about that? Do you think that Shinkai is talking a lot about mental health in Japan?
Yeah, I think it's... I mean, a lot of people say that anime is for kids and all this stuff. But I feel that he's a good example of how even movies like animated movies in general, like just... Mm-hmm. They serve a broad audience. They're there to help people of all ages because no matter what age you are, you might not even know sometimes, but you might be suffering from anxiety and depression, and especially in Japan because they're workaholics. That's what they are because it's part of their culture. It's part of seeing that if you're not doing anything with your life or if you're not working or overstressing yourself, you're basically not going to do anything in your life. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's showing it there brings a little bit more of subtle awareness mm-hmm. that, hey, you should probably not so much feel bad about the fact that you don't know what you want to do and that other people, you know, that other people are not supporting you, but that there's also other people that maybe not in your same age are also going through stuff like this and that you could probably talk to about. Talking to someone that understands how you're feeling is always the best, sometimes the best way to figure shit out.
It's something that I connected to a lot as, you know, what's it called? As I want to progress with this podcast, I reveal a lot of things about the person that I am. This movie, you know, really connects with me in that sense where sometimes I felt like I have nobody to talk to. I have nobody to talk to. And I felt like that woman in a garden just watching people pass her by while she's going through her shit in her own head. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of the movie that really, really spoke to me where I was like, oh man, I feel seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to bring up another thing I know that you were like, what's it called? Silent Voice. Yeah, I know. I didn't have you on the Silent Voice, but what's it called? It's Shinkai's also his way of bringing things right back to nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
According to so many philosophers that I've read, nature is the purest form of civilization that we know. It's where civilization thrives the best is when it is connected to nature. As in that is a theme found through so many movies, Hayao Miyazaki's films, My Neighbor Totoro, Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle. Like a lot of those movies are the central theme is always nature. Connecting back to nature. Also, Akira Kurosawa's 1990 film, Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
One of the dreams is very much indeed talking about how civilization thrives the best when it is connected right back to nature. And I don't think it is an aesthetic choice for him to have the rain playing so loud. It's not an aesthetic choice to have them be in a garden. So he's putting these two characters in probably one of the purest forms that this earth has created around nature. It is no wonder that these people feel so at peace and they're able to share such intimate details about themselves.
Yeah, so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Just a quick point of going back to the characters. It's interesting. You say you relate to her. I relate to him. Because in my...
Well,
like,
a part of me relates to him, too. I was a 15-year-old boy, too.
Yeah. But I mean, like, his situation in the sense... I mean, thank God my mom didn't walk out on me, right? But the fact that he worked so hard for something that he really wanted to. Yeah. And then, like, he was going through all these things in his head, but he still never really showed all the stuff that was going on in his head and how, like, depressed he actually was. Yeah. Like, all that stuff really... I felt that it really... related to a point of my life when I was feeling that stuff. And then moving now to the nature, I completely understand what you're talking about. Stop hitting me with your foot.
No, I'm sorry. This is what happens when this table is
this table is so small. Yeah. Okay. Sidetracked.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
It's okay. Don't make me lose my train of thought. Damn it. Yeah. Okay.
You were talking about the boy.
Yeah.
How you feel very good.
Oh, well, now I'm moving to the rain. Yeah, so... One example is sometimes when I can't go to sleep, I play rain on Spotify, or I play just rain or thunderstorm noises or water or something that has to do with nature, because it calms me down. And like you said, there's no wonder why they chose specifically that spot for them to be like their safe haven or their place where they can be themselves, because it's like you said, it's the purest form. And the fact that it's raining, it means that not a lot of people are there.
Yeah.
And when it rains, it's like they can make it their home, but finding that someone else can also enter that place and feel as safe as they do. Yeah. It just, that's when their whole world opens. And
also it's the rain, the plants are being fed. They are thriving. They are graving the nutrients, and they're going to keep thriving.
Mm-hmm.
Those two people, I'm learning stuff from you. I'm thriving because of what you're telling me. I am digesting your words. I'm connecting with them, and I'm able to sprout into something better. Now I'm growing because of what you're telling me and I'm telling you. So. There is no mistake as to why it's in the rain, like 100%. It's those the symbolic measures of it.
Yeah, listening to the rain so loud, some people might find like, oh, I can't really like listen what they're saying or something, or like might be way too much. But that's what makes this movie.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, my heart just dove inside there.
Yeah.
Just feeling, like I was saying earlier, I could basically smell the rain, or smell like when he was describing it at the beginning, it came to me. Because I mean, I've lived in a city, and then here too, there's a lot of trees and stuff here. So when it rains a lot here, you can also smell it if you go to a place or a park or something. The smell of even if it's humidity, some people don't like it. I mean, I'm allergic to a shit ton of stuff, but
I just don't like sweating.
Yeah.
Just sweat's terrible.
But the rain itself, when it's not humid, it's just rainy and a little bit of a breeze or something like that. That's, I love that feeling.
Yeah. And just, I mean, in the way that it's animated, it's just beautiful.
Yes.
Once again, his movies are always so beautiful. Just the look of them. You know, just when those sun rays pour in, or just the cloudy skies, and just the way that the city is created by the animation is just incredible. Like, this guy's the way he's able to picture this in his head and then translate it over to animation. It's probably one of the things that I adore the most about Shinkai in his form of in his cinematic language. And I'm just, what's it called? Like, I'm telling you that just the nature and in them and. What's it called? The part in the movie where I think people would probably get turned off by is towards the end. Mm-hmm. Like the ending, just the confrontation, which I think people, they'll be like, oh, this kid's acting too bratty. But it's a 15-year-old kid. Like, I read that and I was like, that's exactly how I would think a 15-year-old kid would feel like. Raging with hormones, who just got rejected, and... From such a woman that he feels so, that he holds to such an importance, Of course he was going to act that way. Now, how did that play out in the Japanese version? Because in the English version, he was kind of like mad.
Mm-hmm.
But how did it play out? How did it play out in the Japanese
version? He was more disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, he was upset. He was upset, but he didn't sound as aggressive as in the English version. But he did say a lot of the stuff about like, oh, say you hate me and all these things, but he didn't. There's this one part that I was like, damn. In English, he says, how could I ever love someone like you? I hate you.
Yeah.
And in English, in Japanese, he just says, I don't know. I hate you. Basically, he doesn't say, how could I ever love someone like you? Because, I mean, I don't know how you would put those together. But I feel like you could hate someone because you love them so much. So I feel like for me, this kid is just like he's upset at the fact that he loves this woman or like he started feeling something for this woman so much that and she never cared to stop him from feeling this way, even though she knew he was a student or where he was or anything like that. So I would understand where he's coming from.
I think I think he hates that he's in love with her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He hates the fact that he loves her.
The fact that in no world right now is he able to be with her.
It's not
ethical. It's just not possible. It's just not going to happen, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he hates that right now, at this moment, is when he got feelings for her.
Yeah.
Which is why I understand why he would set on his journey to one day just find herself again when he's older.
Mm-hmm.
And now he would have the chance to be with her.
Yeah.
But both of them, learned a lot from each other.
Mm-hmm.
She says, you saved me. You know, like, you gave me hope that there's people out there who actually have, goodwill. That, there's something out there worth fighting for.
Yeah, and she even says, you basically helped me get back on my feet or, you helped me walk again.
Yeah.
And that's what he had said, I want to make shoes to help people walk or, to represent people walking or something like that. He says something like that.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was super meaningful because they both understood that they couldn't be with each other.
Yeah.
And he knows that the only way, on that part where it stops raining, he can't see her anymore because he only skips whenever it rains. He says, you know what? If I can't fight or study or work all these extra stuff, then it's basically I can't deserve her or I can't, something like that. So that ending was just, it was not disappointing. It could have been longer, of course.
Yeah.
I felt so cheated because I have seen so many memes or videos of this last part of this movie. And I was like, damn, that's how I got into Garden of Words, actually.
Yeah.
And then I saw this ending and I'm like, damn, is that it? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next?
I'm also not a fan of the whole post-credit scene.
Yeah.
So, I'm just not a fan of that stuff. I'm not a fan when Marvel does it. I'm not a fan with anybody does it because from a narrative standpoint, why would you put it?
They should have just put it at the end of the movie, before the credits. But I guess I understand a little bit of why they put it at the end. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
But
also, I love, that's something that I love from him. He loves to keep you on the brink of wait, are these people gonna end up together? Because that's a thing in Your Name. You for a point there, you're like, oh, they're not gonna end up together.
Yeah.
That's it. And then that ending on the staircase. It. And it's like, oh, okay, wow, it happened. Mm-hmm. So I love when he does that, just the whole point of did I get you?
Mm-hmm.
Did I get you?
I know.
Oh man, but this movie, just the way that it incorporates that, and it's a tale of innocence. It's a tale of moving on. It's a tale of moving. It's a tale about mental health. It's
nature,
and it's. But deep down, it's a movie about a symbiotic relationship of learning through someone.
Yeah,
and that's why when you go back to a garden, it's an array of plants. They're all there to serve the purpose of growing and thriving. A garden of words, the words that are spoken, you learn a lot through those words mm-hmm. when you digest them. And you take them into effect, and you can grow as a person, or you can just let them sit there and do nothing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess that's it. Do we have anything else to say before we get out
I love
here?
The fact that I remembered being in... Well, I wasn't in that garden, sadly. I never really visited it. But I was in Shibuya yeah. and Shinjuku where like the parts of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God, I remember all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of being in the train. And mm-hmm. it was really cool. But yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. So I want to thank you so much for stopping by and being on the Cinema Condition. And this will only get even better. We have a couple of more movies that I have planned with a couple of other people. So we will see what is next. But that is number 2 out of the 5 that I have planned right now that is done. And I hope that you guys enjoyed the episode. Like I said, after these next 5 episodes, there's going to be a little bit more of a, what's it called? A little bit more of a, not structure, but like there'll be ad breaks in the thing where I'll put like the break, the what's called commercials for the other shows. So you guys can go and listen to the other shows on the network. So, but for now, just enjoy these first 5 episodes that are not like crafted as I want them to be crafted, but you guys can just have fun with these. And I'm glad that I started doing this because it's a really fun thing that I love doing. I just love sitting back here for a couple of more hours out of my day and just dissecting a movie, just deep down into them. So I'm probably going to have Michelle back to talk about another Shinkai
yes.
movie. Of course. Yeah, I probably will have Claire as well because she wants to do one of these.
Yes.
Probably. Claire will probably want to do another
Silent
movie. Yeah, she will probably want to do a Silent Voice. I don't know. But what's it called? This has been the Cinema Condition. And what's it called? What?
I have one more thing to say.
Oh, sorry.
But I want it to be the end.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's it called? You guys go listen to all the other shows on the Nerdcore Podcast Network. The Nerdcore Live Show, the Gamercore, anything else. Right now, we're in a very big period where we're trying to get our feet back because of the winter break and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's been really hard. It's been really, really hard. But go and check that out. Go check out the website, thenerdcore.com. I do a lot of reviews on there. Hopefully, you guys read my reviews. I don't know if Michelle reads my reviews. But, yeah, you probably don't. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I haven't. Okay. It's because I haven't seen any good, like, any movies that have come out.
Well, first of all, my reviews are non-spoiler. So.
Oh, I didn't know they were non-spoiler.
Yeah.
I remember you talking about it in the podcast once that you said, oh, this one's spoiler. And I'm like, oh, okay.
There's only one spoiler review.
Maybe that's what the one I heard.
And it's a movie you watched.
Oh, wait, which one?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh,
that's my first
post.
That's my first post I ever made on the website.
Oh, then I gotta read your review.
One. Everything else has been non-spoiler.
Okay. I'll see. Where you have them on the
nerdcore.com.
Yeah, on the
nerdcore.com. Go and check them out. And go and check out the Patreon. Patreon supporters at the $1 tier and above all get these episodes way early before you guys. Once I get to 3, you're gonna get a mega post of 3 episodes of this show, and you guys will get them on there. You'll be able to listen to them. But in the meantime, it's been an amazing time talking with my guest, Michelle. Where can they find you?
Do you remember? Okay. I just use Instagram. A bunch of people here use Snapchat. I guess that's why.
I like Snapchat.
I don't use
we
Snapchat.
We need to get you on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. He wants me to get... Everyone wants me to get
Twitter.
Well, because
first of all, like, I want to... What's it called? Promote you. And I want to also show, like, talk about, like... all the other stuff, and like people want to talk about what the movie meant, so like you might want to respond to them. So
yeah,
come on.
Well,
it.
You can add me on Instagram. It's _ Michelle MICHELLE Ochoa OCHOAAA. So
okay.
By the way, I will not add you if you don't follow the Nerdcore.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because then I won't know why you're adding me. I'll be like, that's weird. Why is this? Because I've had a bunch of random people add me out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe they listen to the Nerdcore. But if you don't follow the Nerdcore or at least Raul, then I won't follow you back.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. That's your criteria.
Yeah. That's
and as
do.
Always, I'm the Nerd Chicano on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm glad that here is when I don't have to be my enthusiastic self. I could just sit back and be this monotonic voice, I guess. I don't have to be, hey, guys, it's been a wonderful time. Yeah, like, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. But it's been a wonderful time, and I will catch you on the other one. And my fellow cinephiles, Sit back, relax, and watch a movie, my friends.
Yeah. A faint clap of thunder. Even if rain comes not, I will stay here together with you.